Today,
lots of nature's fruits and vegetables in a capsule, changing the world one life at a time.
I'm a scientist and by all accounts, a health and fitness nut. So I was looking for something that I thought might give me just a little bit more edge. And I've tried many things and I'm very strict in terms of my diet, my exercise, my lifestyle. I'm pleasantly surprised, I must admit. I typically in the winter times have respiratory issues or colds, and this is the longest period I can remember where I haven't had one. My body is experiencing something that it's never had, and then knowing that the change is because I took Balance of Nature, and it's worth the money. That's all I can say. It's worth the money.
Experience the Balance of Nature difference for yourself. Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order. Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com and use discount code KATE.
Hi, friends. If I could ask you a favor, go to mypillow.com and put in the code word KATE. Mike Lindell and I have partnered up not only to bring you fantastic products, but he's also helping this show. You're going to get wonderful products when you put in the code KATE, K-A-T-E. You're going to get 30% off on the product. They have specials all the time, but these, I'm not wowed easy, but these products are amazing, I have to say. The sheets, the towels, the robes, the slippers, everything, completely amazing. You're going to love it. The phone number is 1-800-873-1052 or go to mypillow.com and simply put in the code word KATE. Thanks, you guys.
Mood? Cranky. With a low tolerance for victimhood. The Kate Daly Show starts now.
I am a woman of color, I am a mom, I am a cisgender millennial who's been diagnosed with generalized anxiety disorder. I am intersectional, but my existence is not a box-checking exercise. I am a walking declaration, a woman whose inflection does not rise at the end of her sentences, suggesting that a question has been asked. I did not sneak into CIA. My employment was not and is not the result of a fluke or slip through the cracks. I earned my way in, and I earned my way up the ranks of this organization.
Hi there. Welcome. Kate Daly Show here. That was this very strange advertisement from the CIA. I'm a woman of color. I'm intersectional. There's so many things wrong with what she was saying. I cannot wait to talk about that with Dr. Duke Pesta, who is my guest always in this hour on Mondays. How are you, Dr. Duke Pesta?
Hi. I want to tell you about my story, Kate. Okay. I was born to second-generation Americans in America, and as a short man who was destined to go bald, I did not let stand in the way. I actually took advantage of my opportunities. I like to play water polo and wear really skimpy underwear. It makes me feel secure. I have a social anxiety disease, but that didn't stop me from becoming a professor at a second-rate university in this country. I want you out there in America to know that you can do whatever you want, even be a clown show at the CIA, because we're all about woke diversity.
That was brilliant. Oh my gosh. I wish I could just play that the whole hour. You know what? I'm telling you, that's exactly what it is. This woman, bravo, by the way.
Bravo. You know, there's waterboarding people in Guantanamo. At least they ought to be.
Oh my gosh.
And so they're supposedly setting, you know, just doing everything they can to undermine wicked governments.
Yeah, yeah.
But all they want you to see is the face of compassion, the face of the CIA, right?
This woman walking in with all of her color. You know, it's so funny to me to parade around and say, I'm a cisgender millennial. I don't even know what that means anymore. I'm an intersectional. What the hell does that mean? And I've been diagnosed with generalized anxiety disorder. Sounds like a personal problem. And I'm a woman of color. And this is supposed to be a CIA recruitment ad. And all it does is make it sound like she actually has accomplished what no person ever has before in the history of mankind. Like, and she went through all these really hard things to get where she was. I'm sorry. She had every opportunity in the book. Are you kidding?
Well, She's probably a low-level coat check person. That's number one. I mean, because obviously if she was anybody important, they wouldn't be showing her face on TV.
True.
She probably works in the cafeteria. Number two, her parents brought her here legally. We don't even know, legally or illegally. But her parents brought her here to give her a better life. And guess what? She's had it. What are you so damn anxious about? You were brought to this country to have a better life. And lo and behold, the system worked. You left the fields of Chihuahua, Mexico, crossed the border in the middle of the night, led by coyotes. And lo and behold, the minute you became an American citizen, everything started breaking good for you. Isn't that an amazing story? It's happened for hundreds of millions of immigrants in the last 50 years. I don't know what you're so special for, sweetheart, but I will say this. Is it possible that your social anxiety disorder comes from all this woke language you spend all your time memorizing?
Oh,
do we really know that you're cisgender? Do we really need to know that you're intersectional? Maybe that's where your anxiety is coming from.
Amen.
Oh, and by the way, way to sell out, my Chicana homegirl, by working for the organization that kills more people around the world than any other. Way to go full on broke working for the man, chica.
Oh, amen. Oh my gosh, I'm putting this on a soundbite. You know what? Let me just tell you. When it says she had rejected the patriarchal ideas holding her back, I'm sorry, did an idea hold her back? I think not. In fact, they were probably scrambling to hire her just so they could say woman of color, check mark, you know, check mark on that box. And also,
May I also point out that if America is a great big patriarchal country that she had to overcome. Uh-huh. Let me just point out, in the anatomy of America, the CIA is the great big penis of the patriarchy. You can't get more localized penis in the great patriarchy. I guess the word I should use is phallus, right? That's more freshman English lit crit. So yes, so the phallogocentric country we occupy, the phallus part, the part that she's really rebelling against, is the organization she just signed on for.
Oh, amen.
Oh, and by the way, under Comey, the FBI was the vagina of the patriarchy.
Thank you. It's so true.
So you know.
Okay. She also used to say she struggled with imposter syndrome. Now, if anyone could go back in the first 150 to 200 years of this country and ask anybody if they felt like an imposter or they were just happy to be here to be able to immigrate, give me a break.
Imposter status is.
Oh, gosh.
You're a alien chica, right, living in this country, who needs to feel like she's some kind of a rebel, some kind of a Che Guevara Anna with a little Latina, and now she's working for the CIA. Good luck separating parents from their children on the border, sweetie. That's your future.
There we go. And there's one thing I have to add here, because this will add insult to injury. You know, the only award she has won, and the reason that she's doing the ad, is because she won the Donald R. Cryer Award for Diversity and Inclusion. So she spent all this time in her spare time inventing all of these things that she is, like intersectional, and that's what she got an award for. It wasn't for doing great at her job. It was for representing.
Isn't it amazing that the award was named for a dude named Cryer? Clearly a pajama boy. And this is where she got her whole modus operandi.
Gosh.
Who cries the loudest about her first world problems? I got news for you. Again, chica.
Yeah.
I got news for you. Your luckiest day, your biggest award, was being welcomed into this country, sweetie. That was it.
Right.
You may not realize it right now. You may never realize it. But as you go to work for the CIA, obviously in a position of very low regard because we showed your beautiful face on TV, you remember. You never forget. Just never forget it, right?
Right, right.
That you are working for you cannot possibly, unless you were working for ICE, you cannot possibly work for an organization that is more antithetical to your people's struggle. What happened to La Raza sister?
Two of the greatest tweets that came out of this, by the way. One said, meanwhile, the CIA is probably trying to overthrow the democratically elected government of her parents' country of origin, number one. And number two, supports genocides, mass murders, and war crimes, but woke. Just
it reminds me of that ABBA song. She's so brave. It reminds me of the ABBA song, Fernando. Did you hear the drums, Fernando? How many nights we fought. I never thought to fight for freedom in this land. But she her freedom was being carried across the border as an infant, giving a housing subsidy somewhere in the middle of Texas, going to free schools all her lives, and now she's recognized her dream, Fernando. We are old and gray, Fernando. You gotta humor me. Make that the next bumper music you play.
I will. There's no way I couldn't at this point. We just had to start the show with this because I was actually shocked to see this, that they would go this far. But don't look at what the CIA is doing. Just look at their wokeness represented by their new woke woman. It was really disgraceful. By the way, the woke crowd is finding a Disneyland ride quite interesting. Snow White. Do you want to talk about this?
Yes, let's talk about Snow White. You say, what do we know about Snow? Because she's a fairy. Let me just point this out, because clearly all the lefties don't realize this. She's a fairy tale character.
Yeah.
Guys, she doesn't exist. Hey, MSNBC, it's called fiction. Mm-hmm. FICTION. Look it up. And they're angry now because Disney has put together a Snow White ride, or she's part of a ride. Uh-huh. And as part of the Snow White experience, she gets to be woken up from her perpetual coma, right? With a kiss from a man.
Right.
Now, here's the kicker. The man can't bring her back to life without kissing her. But he can't ask her consent because a Hillary Clinton witch put her under a spell.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the problem, right? So the lefties are mad that this prince, to save her life, to literally bring her back from a poison coma, he has to kiss her on the lips. Guys, there's no tongue involved. I mean, it's a friendly little kiss.
She can't but consent. Other than, she's asleep.
Exactly. Our prince has two charming choices. One, leave her to die with cobwebs. And by the way, Snow White, if you leave Snow White in a state of suspended animation around seven horny dwarves, I can't vouch for what's going to happen. But his whole choice, the prince's whole choice, is either to give her a peck on a cheek and restore her to life, or let her linger in a coma because woke intersectional cisgender people working for the CIA don't think it's right that she hasn't granted consent. This is what they're worrying about on your dime.
Yeah, and they want a more comprehensive storyline. That means they would like to gut the entire story and retell it so that she can stand up, give consent, I guess, and then go back and lay down and pretend she's dead? That's interesting.
Now, if Prince Charming happened to be Princess Charming, the left would be okay if she got fully molested when she was in a coma by her girlfriend. That would be so okay. True. That would be sexuality that pushes the boundary. But because it's Prince Charming, and he can't necessarily get her content, maybe he could, monitor her eyelids under her closed eyes to see if she goes into REM sleep. Maybe there are he could maybe take her temperature. There are things that he could do that would signal consent. Maybe, a good, real, accurate thermometer reading. I'm not talking about the ears or under the tongue. Maybe a really good thermometer reading might, once he starts talking in her ear, her heartbeat may flutter a little bit, and that would be consensual. But I mean, until he exhausts all those options, he has no right whatsoever in kissing the poor coma girl.
You know what I hope for, though? I actually hope they change the script to make her an actress that wants an Oscar or several movies in her name, so then she could go back and then claim the Me Too movement. Now that would be a movie. I mean, let's go Snow White Me Too.
Get what you want. Snow White asleep for centuries is still a more entertaining scene than what Hollywood's turned out much lately. I mean, I'd watch that. I'd watch Sleeping Snow White I'd watch some of those movies.
Hey,
rather that than another stupid Marvel woke comic movie.
Yeah. It was astounding to see that they were spending so much time on this and that this was part of their problem in life. You really have to search hard if this is the problem in life. And like you started out when you said, this is a fairy tale fictional character. They're breathing life into it because they really want her to be real. It's psychosis.
Hey,
it's psychosis.
Don't you be breathing life into anybody unless you can get consent for it, okay? I don't care who's collapsed on the ground. If you're a man and she needs CPR, you step back and let the coroner put a tag around her tongue, her toe. You don't touch her. I mean, this is the feminist credo. Better dead than manhandled.
I have to. I got to agree. We'll be right back. More with Dr. Duke Pest when we come back. Anyway, I'll be right back. We'll be right back.
talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
I remember long ago another starry night like this. In the firelight, Fernando, you were humming to yourself and softly strumming your guitar. I could hear the distant drums and sounds of bugle calls with
Fernando. Welcome back to the Kate Daly Show. Now I'm always going to associate that song with the woke CIA ads. So welcome back to the show. I've got Dr. Duke Pesta on with me from the Dr. Duke Show. His show plays live on my Facebook page right after the show ends every day, and you can catch it live. He's just an amazing guest host that I absolutely love to have, and I've had him coming to the show for, 4 or 5 years now. So I also wanted to say, get over to frankspeech.com and sign up. It's open now, and let's give this the big push and jump ship from Facebook. I'm so tired of being in Facebook jail, aren't you? Frankspeech.com was brought to us by Mike Lindell, my pillow guy. And let me just tell you, you can support the show by supporting mypillow.com. You can actually get great products for supporting the show. So that I would say that's a threefer. You're supporting Mike and all his endeavors. You're supporting this show and Truth and Radio. And then you're also getting wonderful products yourself, towels and sheets and slippers and robes and all kinds of things. This would be the time to do it. Make sure that you put in the code Kate, though. If you put in the code Kate, it also helps the show. And so you also get 30% off. I mean, my gosh, what are you waiting for? I really appreciate you helping keeping this on the air, and then also making sure, because Mike Lindell is doing some wonderful things and he's putting his money where his mouth is. And the movies are wonderful. Go to Mike Lindell TV. You can check out the 3 movies on election fraud that he's got up. And I'm serious. It's amazing to watch. I watched a couple people go ahead and put the ballot under scrutiny as they all voted, and the vote came out exactly opposite of what they actually voted, and they were stunned. They were all sitting in the room, and the one woman started crying, and she said, I didn't realize it was this bad. The machines and the software and the machines, the Dominion software, goes by several names, but Dominion software in the machines is just wreaking havoc and changing the votes once inside the machine. And so she literally sat there and cried because she knew that that would be the end of a representation of the American people. And so I just wanted to say, my gosh, go check out the films. Dr. Duke Pesta, let's talk a little bit about the parties while I'm talking about vote fraud. Shall we?
Let's talk about this. Yeah. So we got to start off, I think, with swinging Pierre Delecto in your home state of Utah.
Yeah.
That stalwart Republican, Mitt Romney, who was booed, seriously booed in a speech at the Utah GOP convention. And it was lovely to see, right? There's Pierre up there. And the couple things that get me. Number one is he had the audacity to say that he's been a Republican his whole life. Mm-hmm. My dad was a Republican. Took about 1 minute of fact checking to find out that during the entire Reagan and Bush administrations, mm-hmm. he happened to be an independent, because those Republicans were just too out of line. So when Bush and when Reagan mm-hmm. were actually in office, see, that's just a little too much Republicanism. He actually became a Republican again when Obama got elected.
Mm-hmm.
We remember how he ran against Obama and refused to criticize Obama. That's the slick plan, Pierre. You're going to run mm-hmm. against a guy with the worst record in the last 100 years, and you won't mention it for you're afraid of being called racist. So they never did call you racist, Pierre, but they did call you a sexist with a binder full of women, and you lost the election. Congratulations. So the people of Utah, after you groveled to Donald Trump, this is the other mm-hmm. Judas moment that you had.
Mm-hmm.
You groveled to Donald Trump. You wanted his help. You needed his help to get election. The party was all on fire for Trump. And so you went to him basically hat in hand. He did everything he could. He campaigned for you. You become senator. And the minute you become senator, minute you are elected to the Senate, you immediately attack him. This is what you are. And so the good people of Utah booed you. And this shows you why we lose elections, Kate. On the left, they go down and burn down a Target. They burn down a Target for this kind of stuff. We politely boo, right? you heard the old statement, right? The Republicans are bringing a knife to a gunfight.
Yes.
Are you kidding? The Republicans are bringing a child's pinwheel to a gunfight. This is what we are. I mean, it's just so laughable. And so some high-ranking rhino Republican in Utah chastised the crowd and said, "Show a little respect." And what happened? All the Republicans shut up.
Yep. Yep. And then there was some booing after them. Let me play this for everyone, because I want to give everybody kind of a snapshot of what should happen when these guys get up to a microphone after they've completely betrayed their country with basic treason and then their own party as well. Here you go. Pretty loud booing, right? Can you hear that? Very, very loud. And I really do hope that, and this went on for a long time all throughout his speech, I really do hope that he was mortified and embarrassed on the inside. I really do. That's my hope, because there's nothing else that sends a message. We have nothing else in the arsenal to say publicly, we do not go along with anything you're doing. And my state actually has such buyer remorse now for hiring him for this job. And who knows, with Dominion voting fraud, if we actually did vote him in. But let me just tell you, my state hates Romney. In fact, 95% of the Facebook comments whenever he posts are horrific. They're like, "Get out. We hate you. You know, you're a Nimrod. You know, everybody hates you," kind of stuff. And so I do find it that, hey, this is the only thing that is going to work in publicly embarrassing. Susan Collins came out and said she was appalled by it. "I'm simply appalled." You know what? What are you so appalled at? Everybody would boo you too. Let's hope, right? She's awful.
Well, I mean, my God, she actually makes Romney look like an actual Republican.
Yeah.
And so, you know, she had nothing to say when they were castigating Trump and spitting on him and fabricating video. They were taking out magazine photo front covers with his head cut off. Susan Collins had nothing to say about that until the one thing that Trump, one tweet, and she's already attacking him. So we know what we're dealing with here. I mean, and by the way, I got to love that Nimrod comment, right? That could there be any better LDS insult? Unless you use Gomer from the Old Testament, right? Call him a Gomer, call him a Nimrod. You call his wife a Jezebel. That's so LDS. You gotta love that.
It's true. It's so true. I mean, I have to claim it, right? We'll run around every cuss word in the book. But you know what, though? I'm telling you, he deserves every cuss word in the book. This guy has betrayed America, betrayed his own party. He stands up there at the Republican convention, no less, and expects applause. I mean, this guy's a total joke. Romney's a joke. My governor's same thing as Romney is. So he got booed too. And I am telling you, this is the only way that we can do it, because nothing else works. When Romney was booed on the plane and everybody was fighting to put themselves on Sanctimonious Hill and self-righteously say, "Oh, don't do that." Well, what are we to do then? What would you suggest if we're not even allowed to boo what somebody says? Because I actually think that's pretty benign.
It is. And not only, let's not forget, just a couple months ago, not even a month ago, Mitt Romney won the John F. Kennedy Award for Courage for standing up to Trump.
Yeah.
I mean, this is like Hermann Göring giving you the Stolen Art Award for the year. I mean, how do you process this, right?
I don't know. And Kennedy Award, Kennedy's.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes.
This is the Profile in Courage Award. And that's ironic.
Yes.
If there's one thing that Mitt Romney has never been, is courageous, ever.
No.
I can't think of anything brave that he's ever done. I mean, stand up there with your billions. Mm-hmm. You know, you get elected governor of Massachusetts by pretending to be a Democrat. When you do become the first Republican governor of Massachusetts in a while, you immediately start making plans to make abortion more available. This is your Obama-like healthcare. This is what you do. You're doing Obamacare in Massachusetts before Obama got anywhere near a presidential office.
Right.
And then other than that, I still think people need to do more with his pseudonym. I mean, how insecure is this guy that he gives himself a false name and goes on all these websites? He's exactly the kind of guy that is paying complete attention to what everybody says about him in the comment sections of online publications. He's there hours, probably a day, trying to correct his own reputation with fake names.
Amen. 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 And you know what? The Republicans should feel, if they don't, they should be feeling this way about Mitch McConnell and Lindsey Graham and all the rest of little insider club that are screwing this country left and right. And the thing is this, we're not attacking him. We're not threatening him. We're not doing anything except boo at what he says. There's no more respectful way to tell somebody we hate your guts than to boo him. And I actually appreciated everyone doing that, because what a way to send a message. And all that is a message. There was no threat going out. So this is what we have to do. And the Republican Party is going to feel the hits, because what they do is, a lot of people are putting party above politics and policy, and they're saying, I'm in love with the party so much that I'm going to protect anyone with an R on their name. And that protection's going to go so far, it's okay if they're treasonous, we're going to protect them because we're a Klan. That is not supposed to be how this works. We should be calling them out every 5 minutes on what they're doing, all of them. And I don't know what else, I don't know how else to do it other than to boo.
So, I have a couple final comments about Mr. Romney. Number one, this is going to be a good litmus test. If indeed there was something Dominion going on, if indeed Mitt Romney was helped by voter fraud to get elected, then he, you know, and both you and I both know, if he knows that, he will not run for another term. He'll do it. When his Senate term is over, if these are straight elections that we're having, then he knows he can't win.
Right.
Like 95% of people in Utah don't like him. So at the end of this 6-year term, if he runs again, then you know, I think, that maybe the ballots are a little bit gamed. Why would he run knowing he can't? He's too proud. He's not going to want to run and get beat by 80-20%. Mm-hmm. So maybe he knows something we don't. Yep. We'll see if he actually runs again, because right now the smart thing to do would be for him to resign. And if Fernando is the theme song for our brave little CIA person, I think the song Chiquitita has to be for Mitt Romney. Little Chiquitita, right?
Okay.
The sky is falling. Little Chiquitita, right? That's got to be our next bumper song, because that says Pierre Delecto better than anything.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I just want to say one more word about the party. You know, the other party, the Democrat Party, is really good at making sure they have this protection in as a clan or a tribe, because it's not driven by principle. It's driven by the fact that they're a clan. Okay, and no matter what, it doesn't matter how they win. They're a clan. They can do anything to win. The means don't matter. They're a clan. So they're very protective, even when they are at the worst, very, very treasonous to this country. Now, the Republicans, I would expect a little bit more, that we wouldn't be acting like that, that we would actually be calling people out. This is why I was really proud to see the booing happen, and I hope it happens in other states too. We better learn a lesson about this. We're not a clan. We're not a tribe. We don't have to go as far as to protect somebody's criminality or treasonous activities. We can actually call them out, because we give these people power, and they can actually take away our liberty. You and I, most of those listening know what I'm talking about, know what I'm saying, and would support that. Now we need to get the rest of the Republicans to stop acting like a tribe or a clan and start acting like Americans. Americans first, not party first. Well,
I love the designation of the left like a clan. The left are clannish. Think about the way they rallied around the insufferable and unforgivable language of Maxine Waters. Maxine Waters literally is inciting violence with her comments. And the way they had to circle the wagons and protect her from her own mouth is clan-like. And this is the perfect definition for a party, the Democrats, who was all cozy with the Ku Klux Klan. This is the William Byrd Klan part of the Democrat Party.
Oh, totally. We'll be right back. Dr. Duke Pesta, this is the Kate Daly Show. KateDalyRadio.com. Be right back.
Lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Kate Daly Show. Welcome back. I have Dr. best Dr. Duke, pastor from the Dr. Duke Show with me. And so happy he's with me. And also mention, I just want to mention Balance of Nature. What a great, great product. And like I said last week, you know, when the inventor of Balance of Nature decided to do what he was doing, he wanted a way to be able to do away with the multivitamins and just get you the nutrients, the phytonutrients. And you know what? That's what this product is made of, is all nutrients. So you're giving your body the food it desperately needs. Make sure you go to balanceofnature.com and put in the code Kate. And when you do that, you'll get 35% off and free shipping. There is no better supplement. You should be taking a food supplement. Our food supply isn't doing it. It's just not doing it. It doesn't have the nutrition that you need on a daily basis. And I know between French fries and the Cokes you're probably guzzling, that your body's probably crying and pleading for help. So make sure that you get it the assistance it needs to do its job properly. Our bodies are intricate and they know what to do, but sometimes they are not given the army to do it. Make sure that you're arming yourself with nutrients. Get over to balanceofnature.com and get the product. I would get extra if I were you, and make sure that you have more in your food pantry. So Dr. Pesta, welcome back. We were just talking over the break about cities and states and people taking a stand. Number one, people taking a stand and calling out their own Republicans for not acting for not even following their own platform. Number one, and when somebody's treasonous, just because they have an R on their name doesn't mean that you have to abide with what he's doing and protect them, because that's the worst. That's the worst, man. At the very least, boo. Please boo when they get up. I mean, my gosh, there's no better way to tell them that they're off the deep end or jump the shark. And then I want to talk about cities that are cropping up that are doing their own thing and saying no to a lot of the federal stuff going on, and no to, yes to values. Let's talk about that. I think it's important.
Well, Austin, Texas, which is far and away the most liberal city south of the Mason-Dixon line. And that includes everything from coast to coast and Hawaii. It is the most radical city we have south of the Mason. Nothing even comes close to it. And what's interesting is that the people of Austin had a runoff election, and they sent a staggering message. They froze the Democrat candidates out. Mm-hmm. There will be two Republicans vying for the seat later on, I believe in the fall. And so you're going to get a Republican to fill that seat in Austin, Texas. And the vote was a blowout. It was like 70-30%. And the Democrats spent all kind of money. They had all kinds of anti-Republican Democrats down there speaking. Adam Kinzinger, this pretend Republican who makes Romney look like he's actually Teddy Roosevelt, mm-hmm. was down there as a Republican, urging that they elect the Democrat candidate.
Jeez.
It was a huge reboot. Again, this is Austin, Texas. It would be like the city of Berkeley, California, mm-hmm. voting for a recall and a Republican to replace Gavin Newsom. It's that big of a deal.
Jeez. I mean, we're seeing a lot of this lately. I know my own governor, who's very liberal, but pretends he's a conservative, wanted a certain group to lead the Republican Party here. Well, he paid for and supported and promoted these people, and they were favored to win, of course. And that's what we kept being told. They were favored to win. Well, it turns out the delegates here went, no. We're going to vote for who we want to vote for. And they actually pulled through and didn't vote for one of them. Not one of them got through. And I thought, here's a good sign, right?
Yeah. This is also why people are so despondent about the presidential election. That was the first election in which we knew that was going to be true, that all the money, all the thumb pushing, all the bullying by the social media, we knew that Trump was rallying big time in November. And that's why we still... I'm glad some of the Maricopa County, some places in California, are going through with the recounts. They're taking their time and doing it, because I think, as we found in Michigan, you're going to find some serious, serious tampering with votes going on in both Arizona and California. Not that California would have gone Trump anyway, but I mean, right. We've got to shed light on this stuff. Because you're right, Kate. When you look at this stuff, what happened in Austin, Texas, this is what we feel is what's going on in this country, that these very small numbers of rhino Republicans and progressive elites, they're forcing all this stuff down our throats.
Right.
No, but I mean, every survey you see on the border says that Republicans and Democrats, by some significant numbers, want to see greater control of the border. They don't want to see illegal immigration. They don't want to have more of it. This is the Democrats and Republicans. Wow. So if these are the numbers, and it's not just border. There's a handling of all sorts of issues. All the spending that's going on now. Now, Trump spent like a drunken sailor. But, I mean, when you've got basically an executive order every day for the first 100 days, 96 executive orders in about 100 days. That's staggering. That's more than pretty much the last 10 presidents combined in terms of doing that kind of stuff. So you can just see how the Democrats are trying to press this advantage they think they have. They want to, in 2 years, make it impossible for anybody ever to vote them out of office again.
Absolutely. In fact, Lubbock, Texas took a stand and they voted to ban all abortions. Proclaiming itself a sanctuary city for the unborn. I love that. I absolutely love this, that this city stepped up to do this, right?
It's the largest city in the country now to have done this. Now, and you wonder, where's the Planned Parenthood bought and paid for federal judge that's going to reverse this?
Yeah.
But it was a legitimate vote. This was not just something that the governor passed through the legislature. It was actually voted on, I think, right?
Yes. In fact, the Church of Jesus Christ banded together also all the churches. There were 200 churches in the city of Lubbock, and they worked together to stand up for life. They also, I mean, they put perpetrators a cost of $2,000 fine per violation. They took a stand, and I'm proud of them because in this country, we are under this warped notion that there's some federal law for abortion. No, there's not. This was just the Supreme Court opining on a Texas case. That means nothing for the rest of the states. It means nothing. Actually, it was just an opinion. And so we're under this delusion that there's some law. There's not. And this city has every right to say we're a sanctuary city for the unborn. We are absolutely not going along with what everybody else is doing. I loved it. I thought it was wonderful.
And I think you would. I think a majority of states in the union would become sanctuary states for life. Mm-hmm. This is what should have happened. This never should have gone. Right. The Supreme Court never should have issued the mandate. Even liberal jurists say this was bad legislation. That Roe versus Wade was a really poorly decided case. It was it's a model of how not to do a big sweeping transformational change. The justices should stay away from that kind of thing. And what would have should have happened is each individual state made its own policy.
Right.
At which point, for every New York who's pushing the far left agenda with abortion, you'd have got a Texas, or you'd have got a Nebraska or an Oklahoma. And that's the way it should be. And if we had that right now, I bet you we would have between 30 and 33 states that were anti-abortion. And 17 or so that were pro-abortion,
right?
So I think it would almost break 2-1 because that's the mood of the people. But of course, they can't have that here because they can't force their worldview into some of these states. So they rely on the Supreme Court. That's why that alone is why Biden's toying with stacking the Supreme Court with 4 or 5 other justices, right? So they can lock that down.
It's for pure agenda. That's the only reason. Yeah. And so and under necessary, I went over this with the Constitution. It has to be necessary. There's several things that it has to meet, and it doesn't meet that because it's purely for agenda. Yeah. Also, 22 places now, locations in Texas have enacted the sanctuary city for the unborn policies, as well as two locations in Nebraska. And this is on the New American. You can check more out about it, too. I love this because I don't see, this is the problem I'm seeing. Cities think that they have to follow the state in whatever they do, and school boards think they have to follow the state. Nobody has any backbone anymore, and everyone is blaming the head of the state, and then the head of the state is blaming who they blame. And in COVID cases, it's for CDC. They want to blame the CDC on all the policy they make, and they make them basically above the state. Well, I see a huge problem with this. Why have a state school board, a local school board, if a local school board isn't going to step up to the plate and decide what's best for its citizens, right? It's students. And in the same way, a city can step up and make these kinds of changes. I think it's fantastic that they're stepping away from state rule.
Well, local school boards, by definition, are supposed to control what happens. This is what local control means.
Yeah, why hasn't it?
It's the local school board that decides what happens ultimately in your district. It's not the superintendent that's going to try to twist your arm. It's certainly not the state and federal guys, the educated people who are down there trying to twist your arms. You, mom and dad, you may be a baker, you may be a truck driver. You're on the school board to oversee education, not to simply implement the diktats of radical left-wing educrats. We have the perfect example of this week from Ohio. Mm-hmm. The Ohio State Board of Education, the big one where all the cities are represented, they have been sued in court by a father. And what they've done is, for the last 6 months, without a vote, the leader of this, the liberal leader of this of the school board, said, "We will not allow parents at board meetings. We will not allow them to speak if they're going to challenge critical race theory."
Right.
If they come here and challenge critical race theory, we will not hear it. And they the lefty leader of the school board made this a fiat. She just said it out loud. For 6 months, they did this. And after 6 months, the lawsuit finally was filed. But they interviewed another school board member who was a representative for Cleveland, the Cleveland, Ohio area. And she said, "I can't see any reason why we would ever allow the families to tell us what to do with critical race theory. It's none of their business. They don't know anything about it." And she said, get this quote, "As a school board member, if moms and dads were allowed to tell us why they didn't like critical race theory, it would no longer be a safe place for me on the school board."
Wow. That's saying something. Holy cow. You know,
how's that for entitlement?
You know what? It's so true, though. And so what they do is they implement all of this crazy by saying that somebody bigger than them is holding them to it and that they have to, and they don't. And that's the simple message, is they can act with backbones. A city can have a backbone. A school board can have a backbone. And we don't actually call them out enough to tell them to start using it. It's up to the public to say, you cannot, no. You are not going to do this. I really do think, why do we have mayors of cities if mayors aren't going to do the things that they know they can do? Why do we have school boards, local school boards, if they're not going to step up? Why? Why not just remove all those jobs, remove all of the designated jobs, and then just work from a governor dictator king in every state?
Well, that's where the left wants to go. There's no doubt about it.
Yes.
I'm slightly encouraged, too, when you think about the number of Republican states that have tried to have passed sanctuary city and sanctuary state laws for guns, right? You have, I think, South Dakota, I think Idaho are doing that, basically saying that whatever the federal government decides to do about the Second Amendment, we are making our states 100% open for business for gun owners. That's a big deal.
Yeah, I agree. And I really do encourage and hope that that people will demonstrate some courage, that mayors will start really doing this to showcase the fact that we could have cities crop up all over this United States that would send a really big message as to what we actually believe in, what the majority actually believes in, rather than letting these people hijack this out of fear. Because the states won't sue because they think that, oh, we'll never win. You know, the Supreme Court said this back in the 70s, we'll never win against Roe versus Wade. And so they actually suppress any legal activity whatsoever, when there have been some states lately, especially in the last few years, that said, no, we're going to do this. We are actually taking the narrative back. And in my state, we don't want abortions. I think this is wonderful. It's wonderful news. Wonderful news.
I agree 100% with you. And it shows that lower level government, when it starts asserting itself, that you can actually have it trickle up. And
yes.
People don't have forgotten that in this country.
Yeah, it's a sad state of affairs what we've evolved into, and we need to start evolving out of this and to start taking it back. And maybe, just maybe, this was really good that this all happened so that we could hit rock bottom and try to finally resurrect what America was always supposed to be. You know, Agenda 21 did a big number on this country, and the cities were co-opted by regional aspects, by regional bodies. And maybe it's time we reexamine all of that as a people and realize what Agenda 21 has done to us from the bottom up, so that we can start, you know, resurrecting the country from the bottom up as well.
especially as it's Agenda 2130. It's not a thing of now. It's a thing that they're projecting forward.
You're right.
And now is the time to fight it. So you're right. I agree with you 100%.
Thank you, Dr. Duke Pesta. Catch the Dr. Duke Show. He's got an amazing show. And talks about all the things that you're not hearing in the press when it comes to education as well. But make sure you're catching his show. I'll be right back. And I have an executive order to tell you about. And I've got all kinds of stuff on smallpox, too, I want to share with you. I'll be right back on the Kate Daly Show. And I'll also take your calls as well.
Gentlemen.